This ESPN Radio Daily Podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. To get a free quote on car insurance, call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com. You could save hundreds. Now that's Progressive. This is the ESPN Radio Daily Podcast.
NBA season is over. Playoffs get underway this weekend. 8 games between Saturday and Sunday as the postseason tournament begins. A team that is always there, at least in this latest incarnation, the Boston Celtics, will open against the Miami Heat in the 4-5 matchup in the Eastern Conference. Our pleasure to welcome back to Mike and Mike in the Morning the coach of the Celtics, Doc Rivers, is on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. How are you, Doc?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Doing well after what is obviously a marathon of a regular season. You've been through a lot of them, but obviously now you're coaching a team that has a good deal of age on it. Give us a sense of what it's like to sort of have to navigate a team through such a long season when you're dealing with as many older players as you have on your team.
Well, guys, it started out well. I mean, we started out 23-5, and everyone was healthy, and then we had a slew of injuries and really struggled getting back our rhythm, getting guys healthy, and then it became very difficult. From that point on, you're basically coaching and managing minutes as much as you could, and your only thought was get to the playoff healthy. Obviously, if you can get a great playoff position, get it, but health was more important than any of those things.
How difficult is it, and we talk about this in other sports, in the NBA, if you need to manage minutes, as you said, and not play guys as much, to then try and, for lack of a better term, flip that switch and turn it on into high gear for the playoffs?
Well, it's not difficult in this aspect. You know, when you manage minutes, that means there's a chance that you may struggle as far as wins and losses. But the guys playing those minutes were still playing hard, you know, just not as many minutes, which affects your team. So in that way, it wasn't as hard. And obviously, the whole flip switch thing, you know, we've been inconsistent. I think it's more of a byproduct of losing your rhythm because of the injuries and trying to get it back in the minutes. I think it was more of that than guys coming out and not playing.
Mike and Mike, Doc Rivers, coach of the Celtics, with us on a team filled with extremely well-known stars. Rajon Rondo has clearly emerged in the NBA. You've been around a long time, Doc. What's the ceiling for this kid?
Oh, the sky's the limit. I mean, he does so many things. He has great speed. He's a great defender. His best part of his game is his vision and feel of the game. And obviously, he has to improve his shot. But he works, guys. He's going to be a great one. He really is.
You know, also, Coach, reports out there about you and your future after this year with your family and your kids playing. And by the way, what a couldn't be any reason, any greater reason, if you do choose to step away and to go watch your kids doing what they're doing. Sounds like you have some pretty good athletes there. Where are you in your mind with all that right now?
You know, it really, in some ways, is a non-story. It's nothing different than I've done the last couple of years. You know, after each year, I go home and spend time with the family, and we make a decision. You know, I was interested yesterday to hear sources, you know, and I was thinking, wow, I thought I was the best source, and I guess not.
Now, in this day and age, you're never the best source.
You're not a source. You know, unless you're tweeting on a Twitter or something, you know, you're not a source. Well, let me ask you this. Your older son, the basketball player, can he take you in a one-on-one yet?
I'm so bad, guys. My youngest son can take you in a one-on-one now.
But just to be clear, what you're saying is, as you have done in previous years, when the run is over and you hope that it's well into June, you'll sit down, you make a decision then, and as of right now, you've not made a decision.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about it a lot. And, you know, the way I view it is that I'm coaching until I get home and something changes my mind. But right now, I'm coaching.
All right, fair enough. And you will be coaching against the Miami Heat, which obviously means Dwayne Wade in the first round. Give us a breakdown of this team you're going up against.
Well, he's the second best player out of Marquette. We definitely know that. tough matchup. You know, the old saying is you never really want to go into a series where the best player has a chance to be on the other team, and that's Dwayne Wade. He is absolutely MVP candidate every year. He's what makes him go. But you can't just have focus just on him. But I think with Dwayne and the team has done such a good job of is using the other guys around him, and that's what makes him so dangerous. And so we have to be ready for the series.
Obviously, Doc Rivers played at Marquette for those who are not aware or old enough to remember. That series gets underway, as they all do this weekend, and we're looking forward to watching it. Doc, we always appreciate the time. Hey, listen, if you do decide to walk away, I have a feeling there's a microphone here for you if you want one.
Or can it be Mike and Doc? Maybe?
Yeah, I really don't want to go anywhere at this point, so we'd like it to be the three-way.
But we could talk. No, Doc, we could talk. Believe me, we could talk.
Thanks, Coach.
Hey, guys, thanks.
Good luck. Take care. There's Doc Rivers with us.
To compare car insurance rates from top insurers in one easy place, visit Progressive.com today. You could save hundreds. Now that's Progressive.
NBA playoffs begin this weekend. 8 first-round series will get started, including the number one overall seed, if you will, the Cleveland Cavaliers, getting set to take on the Bulls in the Eastern Conference. And joining us now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline is the coach of the Cavs. Here's Mike Brown back with us on Mike and Mike. How are you, Coach?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
We're doing well. Thanks for taking the time today. And before we look ahead, let's quickly look back. Certainly a great deal has been made, as you're no doubt aware, of the fact that LeBron James sat out the last 4 games of the season. Take us through the thinking on that decision.
We were going to sit him out the last few. There was a chance coming down the stretch that he was going to play in Chicago. We felt with the little bit of bumps and bruises that he had that it would be okay to sit him and then reevaluate to play him in 1 or 2 of the last games. And as time went on, we just felt it was best to sit him out and just to get him some reps and practice in a controlled environment.
Where is the line of resting, because I completely understand it and agree with it, and too much rest to where you have to maybe restart again when the playoffs start?
You know what, Mike? It's a fine line, and I'm not sure if I have the correct answer. I'm not sure if there is a correct answer. It's kind of based on the individuals, I think, and now the individuals recover once they sit out. I think a guy like LeBron can sit a week and a half, and still be fine coming back. He's done it before. He's just a unique athlete when it comes to that type of stuff. But we'll have to see. I set him 2 or 3 games last year at the end of the season when we clinched. We didn't clinch, I don't think, as early last year. So I set him about 2 or 3 games, I think, last year when we did clinch, and he was fine going into the first round. This thing will work if we win. If it doesn't, then there'll be questions.
You know, there are always questions when you're coaching a player like LeBron James, particularly with the summer that he's headed into. Now, somewhat early in the year, he said, "I'm not talking about this anymore," and both Mike and I applauded that decision because it seemed like there was too much of that talk out there. How much of a distraction has the LeBron's future been for this team this year?
It hasn't. It hasn't been that bad at all. One of the things that we talked about at the beginning of the season is we wanted to have a bunker mentality. We wanted to make sure that we ignored all the noise outside of the locker room and just try to keep whatever bothered us inside the locker room, and we tried to fix it on our own. And our guys have done a tremendous job with that. It was I had mentioned this to our team because of the upcoming summer Bron was going to have with the addition of Shaq, people questioning whether Shaq and Bron can play, and then just having Bron in general and Shaq in general, there was going to be a lot of people out there that were going to try to poke and prod and see if they can get a story out of our team. And our guys did. They did a phenomenal job of having a bunker mentality and just trying to get through the season no matter what we face.
And you mentioned Shaq, literally and figuratively, a big addition in the offseason. And actually, we're going to have him on the show tomorrow and talk to him as well. He's coming off the thumb injury now. Since it's not a lower body injury, I'm sure he could still do some cardio work. But where is he in how much he can give you on the court from being out so long?
Well, he looked good. He worked extremely hard on his condition, his body, and and his eating habits while he was out. Now, obviously, playing in a live NBA game is something that you can't simulate. Running around and exercising and even playing in a scrimmage with the team, with the Cavs, or a controlled environment sort of scrimmage with the team. It's a different game once you get into live action, and he's looking forward to doing that this Saturday, and so are we. But we definitely like the way that he's kept himself in shape as best he can, knowing what the circumstances are.
That series opens Saturday afternoon on ABC. The Bulls and the Cavaliers. Cavs coach Mike Brown with us here on Mike and Mike. So the Bulls, they get in. They needed to win games late to get in, and they did it. So they're on a little bit of a roll. They've got a very good young player in Derrick Rose. What are the particular challenges your team will face going up against Chicago?
Well, the first thing is that the team is probably pretty confident because they had to win some big games down the stretch to get in. And they went and they took care of business against some three or four potential playoff teams down the stretch in order to make it to the postseason. So the confidence right now is real high with those guys. Second thing is they played us tough throughout the course of the year, beating us a couple of times. They know that they are a very good pick and roll team, which translates into a driving kick game for them. And that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to attack our bigs in pick and roll situations and see if they can get our defense moving and shifting while other players on their team are moving for catches and catches to drive again. So that pick and roll game for us defensively is going to have to be on par, as well as our closeout situations when that ball gets kicked, because they're a deadly team in those situations, getting to the free throw line and scoring buckets. Derrick Rose is tremendous at it. Luol Deng is tremendous at it, and Kurt Heinrich. Those three are the top guys from the perimeter. And then with Noah's speed, sprinting into the ball screens, and Brad Miller's ability to pick and pop, and Gibson's ability to pick and pop, that's something that we're going to have to deal with the whole series.
Sounds like someone's been watching some film.
I would say so.
Mike Brown, coach of the Cavs. It gets started Saturday afternoon. You'll see it on ABC, the 1 and the 8 in the Eastern Conference. Thank you, Coach. Good luck.
Thank you, guys. You guys take care.
Do we now say clearly their best wide receiver, Hines Ward? Hines, how are you today?
How are you doing there?
Good. Obviously, we're having a little fun with that because going back and looking at the stats, I think people forget you almost had 100 catches last year.
A quiet 95 is good.
Yeah, it was a little, well, I don't know that it was that quiet, but it's just, what did you think when Santonio was traded and people were looking at the rest of the depth chart going, where are they going to get catches? And then they kind of overlook you because you take it for granted.
You know, I was a little shocked. You know, of course, finding that Santonio went to New York, but, you know, it's not my team. So, you know, the Steelers organization, felt like they wanted to make the best decision for the team and for Santonio, and you know, it's unfortunate. You know, I'm a little biased. Of course, I wanted to keep him here, but that's not the case. And being in this league for 13 years, you know, I've seen a lot of great players come and go. So it's unfortunate that Santonio got the suspension over his head, but hopefully he can learn from it. And when he gets back, go out there and continue being a great ball player that he is.
Do younger players on the team go to you to kind of get your thoughts on some of the stuff that's going on?
Yeah, so, I mean, some of the younger guys look up to me. You know, I'm kind of like the Papa Smurf of the team now, the veteran guy on the team. But at the end of the day, it still comes down to the individual. You know, there's only so much I can kind of guide you and lead you in the right direction. But in some cases, you know, you know, you're an NFL player, you're a grown man, so you have to take it upon yourself and be held accountable for your own actions. So I just try to, you know, give my advice and try to lead guys down the right path.
Hines Ward of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Pro Bowl wide receiver, hanging out with us here on ESPN Radio. Now, you're doing some stuff with some local high schools. Tell us about the G-Series mobile locker room. What are you guys doing?
I'm really just here. I'm out here at North Hills High School, really just to talk to some of the football players, the football team here, just really preach to them about fueling their bodies before and during and after the physical activities by using the G-Series product. So really just telling those guys, you know, how important it is to take care of their body, especially, you know, in the training camp conditions when the weather's hot and extremely you're doing a lot more activities out in the field. It's very important to maximize your ability, and through that, by drinking the G-Series products, really is teaching and emphasizing them. It's not only important to drink it while you're doing it, but it's important to drink before and after your workouts as well.
Your quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, has been in the news quite a bit now. What have you thought about this entire story as it's played out?
It's an unfortunate incident, you know. Unfortunate for our organization, for Ben himself, but you know, we as teammates, we show each other support. I mean, life is full of trials and tribulations, and I'm pretty sure at one point when, you know, in everybody's career, you went through a point where you had to overcome and you had to deal with some situations off the field. But one thing about us, we're a close-knit family, and I know they have a huge press conference today, and really a lot of people don't know what's going to be the outcome of the press conference. But whatever the organization, Mr. Ruin decides to do, you know, we as players, we as work, you know, the players for the team, we understand and support whatever. And I'm pretty sure Ben, he's going to understand and support whatever decision the Rooney's has for him as well. So, but, you know, it's just, like I said, just one little niche in his career. But, you know, we're going to show our support. He's still our quarterback. You know, we won two Super Bowls with him, so he's a proven winner. And having him out on the field maximizes our chance of winning ball games. We do know that, but unfortunately, you know, he had to go through this situation, and our organization and Ben will be dealt with.
Hines, people love to tell other people how they're supposed to run their lives, you know, and especially me being in the media and in talk show hosts, like, we definitely probably veer too far into the, hey, this is what you need to have as morals and all these different things. But I'm just wondering, just as a guy, like, who's gone out and has had a good time, wondering if this is a run with Ben where he's just gotten some unfortunate incidents that people don't understand from the outside, or if this is something where you, as one of his veteran teammates, say to him, hey, regardless, you just, things have to be a little bit different because you can't put yourself and the franchise in this position.
Yeah, you do have to be smart with choices, especially, you know, in our live and our lifestyles, and with camera phones and everything. You know, you have to be careful when you go out into the public's eye, you know, because not only do you represent your family's name, but you represent the NFL, you represent your organization. So you just have to be careful of putting yourselves in certain positions. You know, there's been many of times where, you know, I've been in situations and, you know what, I say it's not worth it. You know, it's not worth to go out and be in certain situations, but you know, I'm in no right to tell another man what to do in his life, just like no one has the right to tell me what to do in my life. But at the same time, I mean, you know, being a football player, you understand the certain negativity and the things that are out there, but you just have to be more smart about it. You know, and sometimes, you know, if you see yourself in an environment and you don't feel comfortable in, the best thing to do is just leave, you know, regardless of, you know, if you're having fun or not. It's just not a right place to be at. So, and sometimes you get scrutinized because, you know, we do make millions of dollars and we do play in the NFL. So sometimes a lot of things get blown out of proportion. Something minor might not, you know, will become being a major thing, you know, and it's just watching Jerry Jones and the guy recording that on that. That can happen to anybody, you know, and being who we are and the amount of money that we make, sometimes it ends up on the news. But, you know, you have to be sometimes careful when you're out in the public's eye because you are exposed to a lot of different situations.
Well, Hines, I can't imagine you expect to go 9-7 next year and come in third in the division. So I won't ask you how surprised you'll be if you end up third, because I know last year, even though it was coming off the Super Bowl, probably some disappointment. I know you guys will be looking to get after again this year. So thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Okay. Anytime, guys.
One of the best wide receivers in the NFL changes hands how to break down the deal. No better person to talk to than ESPN NFL analyst extraordinaire Mel Kiper Jr. Mel, early in the show, I brought up the point about how Denver has now done two straight things. In two straight off seasons, they've traded away their best player. It was Jay Cutler a year ago. Now this year, it's Brandon Marshall to the Dolphins in exchange for a couple of second-round draft picks. Can you succeed as a football team when in two straight seasons you trade away your two best players like the Broncos have?
This is amazing, Jason. I mean, I thought about this today because I was down at the Zone doing a lot of stuff for television. We were talking a lot about this. You know, think about Cutler. You know, I wasn't a huge, never been a huge Cutler supporter in terms of thinking he's as good as his press clippings. But with that said, I mean, this is a young quarterback going into his prime of his career, and you let him go, and you bring in Kyle Orton, and then you make a deal for Brady Quinn, but then you trade Brandon Marshall. After a great year with Kyle Orton, after he had a couple great years with Jay Cutler, so it didn't matter who the quarterback was. It wasn't what had to be the strong arm Jay Cutler. Kyle Orton came in and he did a great job once again. And you say, well, he's high maintenance. Well, so what? You deal with it. I mean, he's producing. The bottom line is, how is he producing on the field? He's doing a great job and he wanted to be paid like the great player he is. That's all he wanted. So, you know, I look at this and I said, boy, you're going to make up for all that production that's lost by drafting Dez Bryant, and he's got to make up for that. And remember, they dropped, Eddie Royal did drop from 91 catches to 37. Brandon Marshall's been steady for three straight years. So, you know, Eddie Royal needs to pick it back up. They don't have Marshall. So all this notion that they got to draft Dez Bryant, they need two receivers. They don't just need one, Jason. They need two.
All right, Mel. Now, as for the Miami Dolphins, it's been bandied about. It's a winning situation for them. Yeah, they are giving him a lot of money, a guy that has caused problems, but his talent is undeniable, as you've talked about. What do you see as being the big thing to watch out for Miami now as far as Brandon Marshall goes?
Well, I think, first of all, Bill Parcells and Brandon Marshall. Bill Parcells doesn't shy away from players who have awesome talent and need to be handled in a certain way. And, again, these off-the-field issues we talk about, Jason, we look at it and mistakes that players make and all that, trying to get them to a point where they mature as an athlete and as a person, as an individual, within the framework of an organization where they're paid accordingly. He's paid to equal now his talent. And Bill Parcells is right there, and Miami has Chad Henne. That's who this impacts. I just said, Brady Quinn, they expected him to be successful in Cleveland without weapons. He drafted two young receivers last year, one of which did okay, the other which did nothing. But they let go two guys who were proven entities. Now, Edwards is kind of hit or miss when the ball's thrown to him, whether he'll catch it or not. And Winslow had some issues as well in Cleveland. But the bottom line is, when these guys were at their best in Cleveland, they put up big numbers. So, you know, now Quinn doesn't have that in Denver. But in Miami, you see what they're doing. They're saying, okay, Chad Henne, we're not going to leave you out there without a number one receiver. We have a lot of twos, threes, and fours. I give Devon Best a lot of credit. Undrafted free agent out of Hawaii, he's done a nice job. Ted Ginn has not played like a first-round pick. Brian Hartline's got potential. Camarillo's okay. Turner's done nothing, their draft pick last year, but now all of a sudden Brandon Marshall's brought in to be the definite, the guaranteed number one option for Chad Henne. And that's where you help your quarterback. Okay, Quinn got no help and continues to get no help, yet Henne is. And that's why when we talk about quarterbacks, don't just say, oh, well, this guy's this or this guy's that. Look at how the organization helped him. And in Cleveland, they didn't. I go back to the Houston Texans, Chase. They did not help out David Carr enough. And I blame them for David Carr not developing into the quarterback he could have been. Okay? They didn't do their job helping David Carr. In Cleveland, they didn't do their job helping Brady Quinn. I'm talking about the new organization, not Phil Savage, who was doing what he needed to do, because he drafted Quinn, everybody else since then. And certainly in Denver, they're not doing the necessary things to help their quarterback. And in Miami, Bill Parcells won't let that happen. And you can see exactly that. He's tried, he drafted a couple receivers last year, one of which Hartline seems to have potential, and now he makes the move for Brandon Marshall. That's what we're talking about here. And remember, he also drafted Jake Long before that same draft, he directed Chad Henne, the left tackle. So, you know, this is what I'm talking about. You know, Bill Parcells gets it. He knows how to build a Super Bowl team, and obviously don't leave your quarterback out there on an island all by himself, because good luck trying to be successful if you do that. That's why I think for some of these other quarterbacks, we with that broad brush where we start analyzing everyone. This guy's a bust. This guy's that. This guy doesn't have this. This guy's not that. You got to cut a lot of these guys a lot of slack based on how the organization went about trying to allow them to maximize their ability or not in a lot of cases.
He's ESPN NFL draft guru Mel Kiper Jr. Mel, as always, my friend, appreciate your time. Look forward to talking to you next week where we are previewing the draft, and it's almost upon us, my friend.
Unbelievable. A week to go to the draft, Chase. Boy, does this sneak up on us or what?
It does. And Beto Cook says now you're not like Santa Claus anymore because you're going to be working 3 days this year because the draft is spread out over 3 days and not just the one day he said you used to work.
Yeah, I'll be working three like Santa Claus, and then we have the most talked about first round pick, Jimmy Santa Clausen from Notre Dame.
Very good. Well, as always, buddy, good luck. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, Chase. Take care, pal.
I want to get first to a guy we have great respect for, former Blue Jay exec Keith Law, now with ESPN Scouts, Inc. All right, so two topics. First of all, it's Jackie Robinson Day in baseball. We just talked about African Americans playing less baseball. I think kids in general playing less baseball, whatever. Listen, if 9% of African-American or baseball rosters are African-American, it's 12% of the population, is it that big of a story? Should baseball be outraged? I mean, people do different things. Cultures do different things. Things evolve, Keith. As a former executive, when you hear the numbers about less African-Americans playing, what do you make of it?
Well, there are two things that come to mind. One is just from a business perspective. You don't want this to become a long-term decline or even turn into a free fall. You can't turn your back on 12% of the population, especially since, historically, there has been a good flow of African-American players into pro baseball and then into the big leagues. So MLB is taking some steps to try to get some life back into the game in African-American communities, which is smart business. It's, in addition to potentially being a social good, it's just a good business move. I think from the sort of scouting baseball ops perspective, the concern is, are some of these kids, the African-American kids, turning to other sports? Are we losing good athletes to basketball or to football? Because, the athletes become the stars, by and large. Our best players, regardless of skin color, are the best athletes. And I don't think baseball wants to lose any athletes, regardless of race or ethnicity, to other sports. We've got to do what we can to try to capture as many of those guys as possible. And if we're losing them early, then you've got to address it early. I don't think we're really losing them at the high school or college level.
Right.
We're losing them at earlier ages. Got to get them involved more in baseball. And if they go up through high school and they're playing 2-3 sports, that's fine. At least gives us a chance to see them, gives them a chance to develop as players. And you know what? If they're still playing baseball as high school seniors, then a team can draft them, a scout can make a run at signing them and trying to buy them away from those other sports.
Keith Law joining us, The Herd on ESPN Radio. Second thing, and this is just part of New York, Javier Vasquez, not been very good, 0-2. Now, he was in New York before, years and years ago, which New Yorkers remember, but people outside of New York may not. He was not good then. He's always been more of an innings eater than an ace. Now he's 0-2. He got booed yesterday. They said it was unfair. Is it unfair? I think it's a good pickup from an innings perspective, but are people being unrealistic about what this guy is? It's the American League, which is better than the National League, a lot. So, is it possible he's just, people are unrealistic and the guy's a 12-13 game winner in the American League?
I think he should be an above-average starter in the American League in terms of ERA or any of the advanced stats you might look at. I think if people are expecting him to be CC light, that might be a little bit much. What he did in the National League, and I had him obviously as the second-best pitcher in the National League last year, that's not going to directly translate to the American League, and it's certainly not going to directly translate to what looks like a good home run park in New York. Vasquez's biggest problem as a pitcher, I think, throughout his career has been the long ball. So expecting him to just be able to jump to the American League without taking any kind of a hit in his performance is probably not realistic.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you know what? It's two starts. Can we settle down? There are plenty of guys out there with 9-10 ERAs who are going to have decent seasons. To boo a guy two starts into his return in New York just seems a little rash.
I'll tell you, though, the American League, Keith, we know the American League's better than the National, and it's ebbed and flowed how much better. But first of all, the American League Central, I like the White Sox. The Twins are good. Detroit's talented. The White Sox are. The Rays are, the Red Sox, the Yankees. It looks like to me, now it's early, but when you just take the American League East and the American League Central, you have six really, to me, profoundly talented teams. Is the American League even a notch above? Have they separated even more from the National League?
You've got more awful teams in the National League. That's the thing that comes back to me. You've got more deeply flawed teams in the National League, whether it's Pittsburgh, who've kind of done it by design. They've said, get the heck with this. We're trading all our veterans and going young and building for 2-3 years down the road. Or whether it's the Astros, who just refuse to acknowledge that they're getting worse every year and keep spending money to no avail. You've just got more of those really flawed teams in the National League. Whereas you look in the American League, who's the worst team in the American League? Is the Blue Jays? They've actually got a lot of talent. You know, from Ricky Romero, Aaron Hill, Adam Lynn, Travis Snyder. There's a lot of good young players on that Blue Jays roster, and they might even be able to contend if you stuck them in the NL Central or NL West. But in the American League, they're going to finish in fourth or fifth place in the East Division because it's just so much more competitive and so top-heavy. Whereas the National League, you got four really good teams, and then there's a pretty steep drop to the rest of the league.
Keith Law, former baseball exec with the Jays, now with ESPN Scouts, Inc. Roy Halladay, money for the Phillies early. Any thoughts on his first outings in the National League?
Well, again, you're starting to see the difference between the leagues. This is a guy who essentially trained going through those difficult patient lineups in the AL East, the great patient Red Sox clubs of the mid-2000s. The Yankee lineup has always been deep and always been very patient. It's got to feel almost a little bit like a vacation for him to go over to the National League where the ninth hitter doesn't hit, the eighth hitter isn't that much better, and you don't have lineups as deep or as patient as the Yankees or Red Sox, except maybe the Phillies lineup, which is the one he never has to face.
Yeah. All right, via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, some baseball talk with our buddy Keith Law. Thanks, Keith.
My pleasure.